The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. Off the Shelf gives a voice to commercial service and product companies selling in the federal market. Roger speaks to members and government officials about procurement policy trends, innovations, and debates. Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Now your host, Roger Waldron.
Today, my guests on Off the Shelf are Ellen Martin. Ellen is the Vice President of Ethics and Business Conduct for the Boeing Company. And Tom McDaniel. Tom is Director of Ethics and Compliance for the Harris Corporation. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Roger.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, well, looking forward to this conversation. Ellen and Tom both play a leading role in the Defense Industry Initiatives Working Group focusing on government contracting and ethics. And we're here today to talk about DII and its role in promoting sound corporate behavior and ethics in government contracts. And so let's get it started, Ellen. And what is the Defense Industry Initiative?
Yeah, great. Thank you, Roger. So the Defense Industry Initiative is a longstanding organization. It was actually formed in 1986. Jack Welch of General Electric and CEOs.
I remember him.
Yes. And CEOs and other senior officials from 17 defense contractors actually voluntarily met to discuss ethical business conduct in the defense industry. They voluntarily met because there were concerns over the way contractors were conducting business and, quite frankly, the way the government was conducting business. So we formed a not-for-profit, nonpartisan organization to focus just on that, ethical business conduct in government contracting. The organization grew very, very quickly. From 17, we doubled in size, nearly doubled in size the first year, and the Harris Corporation was one of the early adopters. I can say for the Boeing Company, we were thrilled to be involved with DII because it's an opportunity for us to really focus on what matters in government contracting and, quite frankly, what matters in just doing business around the world. We want to make sure that we have the right standards in our industry because we know that if any one of our key competitors or suppliers have an ethical lapse, that it reflects poorly on the industry. We also know that when we're focused on the right standards, we can all be more productive together. And DII plays a very, very keen role in that. DII's mission is to promote and advance the ethical business conduct in the defense industry. And we do that by sharing best practices and meeting together to really focus on issues that we're seeing, focus on concerns that the government may have or concerns that we might have as defense contractors so that we can work together to make our industry better.
So you celebrated, so if I get it right, it's 1986, did you say?
1986.
Yeah, so that's 31 years?
31 years. We had our 30th anniversary.
Congratulations. That's excellent. So, Tom, can you talk a little bit about the working group that you guys participate in? That's a more focused, specifically sort of spreading the good word. Is that?
Yeah. So Ellen chairs the working group, and it's the 15 members steering committee members from basically the largest and mid-size defense companies. And the working group is the execution or the implementation arm of the DII. So Ellen is chair, and myself with 13 others in the working group. We have objectives that are handed down from the steering committee. And, throughout the two-year tenure that Ellen is in the middle of today.
You've done year one, Ellen, is that correct?
I'm halfway through my tenure. There you go. Absolutely.
And so the working group then, focuses on the objectives for the year, which Ellen can talk to in a minute. But we all contribute our time and efforts to enhance not only our own programs, but sharing the best practices with other companies and other members. So beyond just our working group, other members and obviously people that aren't, companies that aren't members, we take the time to help them advance their programs as well.
I think it's important to add and stress that the CEOs of our companies or our defense portions of our companies are actually the executive steering committee members. So Leanne Corrett, who is the president and CEO of Boeing Defense and Space Systems, is the current executive steering committee chair. And we meet with them on an annual basis to outline our objectives for the following year. This year, our objectives have really been to make sure that we are advancing the awareness of DII. And we thank you, Roger, for allowing us on your radio show, because we think it's really important that the supply chain across the defense industry understands what DII is all about and knows that DII is a resource. And so we've been extending our outreach. We have been really focusing on helping small businesses. We have several resources that we have developed over the past few years.
Yeah, we're going to talk about those as we go through the show, absolutely.
We will be talking about those. And we've also extended our outreach to government officials, because we want to make sure that we understand the issues that they're seeing, we share the issues that we're seeing, so that we can work together to make our industry even better.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you about when it was created and as it's evolved, just sort of the government, you know, perception of, reaction to, you know, what was really, you know, a self-initiated, you know, industry-wide effort to try to address and deal with and focus on ethics and compliance as part of performing government contracts. So what was the government sort of reaction, and how have you seen it grow in the partnership over the last few years?
From the onset of DII, the government has been very supportive of DII, and our relationship has actually grown over the past handful of years. We've always been partners, I would say, in sharing information around ethical business conduct with the suspension and debarment officials. But here in the last few years, we've really extended our outreach to other organizations within the government. The Office of Federal Procurement Policy, senior procurement officials, and also DCMA. And we've really just been talking about what they're seeing in the industry so that we can take the message back to the working group, to our member companies. We have 76 member companies, so that we all can be focused on the concerns that the government's seeing, as well as the concerns we're seeing, to ensure that we're continually elevating expectations and elevating the playing field in the defense industry.
So, Tom, in spreading the good word that DII does out there, is it your sense of observation that lots, especially small businesses, don't, you know, have a understanding of some of the unique aspects of operating in the federal space and supporting the federal customer and agency mission?
No, your point is exactly right. Small businesses don't know what they don't know. And
right.
The DII fills a great role for them. You know, we'll talk a little bit about the Small Business Toolkit, which is a recent, 250-page toolkit for small businesses. You know, it's a comprehensive tool that gives them a lot of different templates and training and basically outlines what an effective program is, because, quite frankly, they don't have the resources or the know-how to do it. And the DII, you know, spends a lot of time on these free resources. So beyond just membership, which has its own advantages, which we'll talk about later, we have these free tools to help serve that need. Because, quite frankly, the government has told us for the last couple of years, we know, you know, there's a lot of enforcement and a lot of problems with small businesses because...
Right, that's where most of the action is.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
That's the right word, action, you know, or focus when you talk about suspension and debarment, right?
So we've committed ourselves, the DII, to addressing the government's primary concern right now.
And, you know, we recognize that the small businesses have excellent capabilities, and we all want to leverage those capabilities, much like the government does, but they simply don't have the resources to focus on ethics and compliance that the Boeing company has, or that Harris has, or our other working group members. So we feel like this is giving back to the industry, and this is helping our industry. The regulatory environment over the past 30 years that DII has been in existence has grown exponentially in complexity. And for a small business
Absolutely.
To have to navigate through that is quite a treacherous feat, if you would, for a small business.
Well, another, just to get both your thoughts on this, is that it also, there's this big focus, too, about getting sort of, quote, I guess, and don't yell at me, non-traditional government contractors or firms that are, you know, you associate with serving the commercial market more so, involved in federal procurement. Is that an area where there's possibilities with that your organization could play a role in sort of educating those companies not used to that federal space and those those unique requirements that, you know, you just talked about that have grown over the last 30 years?
So certainly the resources that we have developed for small businesses that are traditional defense contractors would certainly also be applicable to mid-size and larger companies that are either already in the defense industry or that are entering the defense industry. Now, we don't teach companies how to become a government contractor.
Right.
We really provide the resources for them to supplement their ethics and business conduct or ethics and compliance programs as a government contractor.
Right. Yeah, you provide the resources, but people got to figure it out, right, in a certain sense, right. So you know what? We're already up on the first break, guys. My guests today are Ellen Martin. She is Vice President of Ethics and Business Conduct for the Boeing Company, and Tom McDaniel, who is Director of Ethics and Compliance for the Harris Corporation. And we're talking about the Defense Industry Initiative, Ethics and Compliance and Government Contract. Government contracts, and when we come back, we'll continue that discussion. I think we'll dive a little bit more in detail into the playbook for small businesses and how that can help and what's that all about. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, we're talking to Ellen Martin. She is Vice President of Ethics and Business Conduct for the Boeing Company. And Tom McDaniel, he is Director for Ethics and Compliance for the Harris Corporation. And when we took the break, we talked about what DIA was in the first segment. And I think this segment, we will talk about the Small Business Toolkit and outreach there. But first, I think I'd like to have you guys lay out actually the principles of the organization, the principles of DII, and just as a philosophical touchstone of where you guys go, philosophically, what you're trying to accomplish.
Great. Yeah, I'll take that one. So we have five primary principles in the DII, and I'll just summarize them for you. First and foremost is to conduct our business dealings with the U.S. government in an ethical way. I mean, it sounds obvious. Also, number two is to promote the highest ethical values, and I'll stress values because beyond compliance. Ethics really needs to have a foundation in values, and our companies and the DII stresses that. It starts with a foundation, and then we go from there. Third is establishing and sustaining an effective business and ethics compliance program, which for small businesses, as we talked about, can be very difficult, but that's a key principle that we have in the DII. Sharing best practices is number four, which is a key element of the DII, and probably for our members, probably the largest or the biggest, most significant benefit. And lastly, that we're accountable to the public. As we talk about, developing, sustaining, and continuously improving our ethics and compliance programs, let's not forget the main reasons the government wants to have their contractors act in an ethical way, because it's taxpayer money. But more importantly, our products and services, are specifically for armed services and the men and women that serve our country. And so, those two reasons are why DII is so important, is to help us keep those in mind.
Yeah, we often say that lives actually do depend on the work that we do when you think
absolutely.
About government contracting.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to ask you about some of these principles and just, get some, your thoughts or insights. In particular, because it seemed, listening to the list, number one, the other sort of four, or at least the middle three, lead to that ethical, conduct, right? That's the number one principle sort of goal that you will, the companies act ethically. But I'm interested in just your thoughts about the values piece of it first, and just culture-wise. I mean, corporations are human organizations. They're made up of people, and there's that outreach and training on the values. Can you talk a little bit about your insights on what that looks like a little bit, or even what are some of the key features of that outreach to your employees to support that?
Absolutely, Roger. When you think about ethics and compliance, the compliance part is actually the easy part. That's rules-based.
Yeah.
The rules are really the guidelines or the guideposts that we expect our employees to operate within. It's the culture that helps them make that easy, right? and the values that each of our companies have. Now, DII does not mandate what values a company has, but it really does encourage, and we share best practices so that companies will train based on their values, because we know the work that we do is hard. Very sophisticated systems that our member companies are delivering to the government. And we also know that there's pressure. There's pressure on schedule, there's pressure on cost. And when our employees need to make a decision, they need to make a decision that is compliant, but that's also adheres to our values. And the values part is where when they're under pressure, they look to the values to make sure that they're doing things the right way, not just compliant, but the right way in all of this.
Go ahead.
And so, I'm sorry. So part of DII, you know, we and I'm kind of skipping to one of the next practices. We really did commit as a self-governing organization to transact our business openly and honestly long before there were requirements and regulations for us to actually disclose certain information.
Right. You guys are ahead of, we're ahead of the curve right now. You have the mandatory disclosure rule, which requires the compliance program, you know, all the FAR-based, you know, compliance requirements that, you know, you were actually there first, right, as an industry versus the government.
That's absolutely right. That was one of the tenets that DII was actually founded on. Also, you know, when you're working in this values-based culture, you are really encouraging your employees to raise the issues. And raising issues isn't easy. Mm-hmm. And again, that points back to the difference between ethics and compliance.
Right. Yeah. I think your observation is spot on. Like, you know, understanding what compliance is in the technical sense that you sort of talked about, what the rules are, versus the human aspect of, you know, implementing a culture, you know, and a sort of collective thought approach to ensuring, you know, those values translate into ethical behavior. That's really, you know, that's the secret sauce in a certain sense. That's the hard stuff. Tom, you know, one of the other principles that I wanted to ask about, that because I think it all of it directly relates, and I don't think you get there without sharing best practices. How does DII do that? You know, we'll talk about the toolkit, but, you know, is it part of it, you know, the networking aspect of it and some training through your working group? How do you guys do that?
Yeah, fundamentally, it's really two areas. It culminates annually at the annual best practice forum every June, where all members are invited. And we've got, you know, about 72 defense companies that participate. And I think we were around 275 members attended this year.
And that's great.
It was a really good turnout, and it tends to grow. And actually, I've been part of the DII for a number of years with several different companies. And this one had, I think, an enhanced feel to it. We had a lot of good interaction, not only with ourselves, but with the government, a number of different officials. And that's really what it's about. It's building relationships. It's understanding what the government is seeing, you know, what problems they're incurring, and then each other. And so that's a great way for a lot of our members who, you know, maybe not see each other throughout the year as we're all scattered across the country. So that's a key event that helps. The other is the networking. I mean that is probably the, you know, single most greatest benefit that I as a member see. Just the working group. It's interacting. It's picking up the phone and saying, you know, hey Joe or hey Jim, we have this problem. How are you handling this? And it really is a networking and helping each other figure out how to fix problems and enhance our programs. You know, it's interesting that, you know, we are all competitors in some forms. We're partners,
sure. Mm-hmm.
And we're suppliers to each other, and sometimes all three, depending on our types of business. But in this area, we're not competitors. You know, we're colleagues, and we have a focused mission, and that is to help each other, you know, share these best practices and figure out how we can enhance or improve our cultures.
Well, that's. Yeah, there's no, it's everybody's in this, from this perspective, everybody's in the boat together, right? In a certain
Absolutely.
Sense.
Absolutely.
And,
that's right.
You know, you all sort of, you know, sink or swim together in terms of, you know, that accountability, that public trust. Because at the end of the day, you're supporting government missions. And if there's, you know, a loss of faith in, you know, how that mission is being executed, which includes the procurement and logistics part, that makes it, you know, that much more difficult to serve the American people, right?
Absolutely. You know, in this industry, it's interesting because every day, our companies are competing against each other. And I don't, yes. I don't mean Harris and Boeing necessarily, but most certainly Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman. Right. Mm-hmm. These are all companies that are very, very much involved with the Defense Industry Initiative. So we have portions of our company that are competing for sales and competing for new programs at the forefront. But in the background, in our offices, in the ethics and compliance world, almost every single day we're picking up the phone and calling one another so that we can leverage the shared experiences across this industry and make sure that we're doing things the right way.
Right. And you know what? On that note, we have to take our next break already. It's already been. My guests today are Ellen Martin. She is Vice President of Ethics and Business Conduct for the Boeing Company, and Tom McDaniel. He is Director of Ethics and Compliance for the Harris Corporation. And when we come back, I guess in this segment, next segment, we'll get to the toolkit. Okay, Ellen? Okay, Tom?
Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah. You are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guests are Ellen Martin. She is Vice President of Ethics and Business Conduct for the Boeing Company. And Tom McDaniel, he is Director of Ethics and Compliance at the Harris Corporation. We're talking about the Defense Industry Initiative and its promotion of ethics and compliance in government contracts. And, you know, one of the big things that DII does is it supports small businesses, provides resources for small businesses to educate themselves about government compliance and what they need to be doing as well, both as prime contractors and as subcontractors to major defense companies. So, Ellen, can you talk about what is the toolkit? What does it do? How does it help small businesses?
Absolutely, Roger. Thank you. So our small business toolkit is a great resource, and it's a resource, quite frankly, for small, mid-size, and large businesses. We developed the small business toolkit, because we really recognize that the smaller suppliers in this space just simply don't have the resources as the large prime contractors do. And so we pulled our information together, and the toolkit provides a comprehensive review of several topics within the realm of ethics and compliance. We have sections on governance, and organization, training and engagement, policies and procedures, auditing, monitoring, and mentoring. And within the toolkit, I'll just walk through a couple of these sections.
Sure, absolutely.
And
that's great.
Tom, add in where you see that I might be overlooking a significant resource. So governance and organization walks through how you might structure an ethics and compliance organization and program, who they should report to, what access to a board of directors they might need. And we scale it and provide different models for different size companies and different options, because the governance and organization, it's not a one size fits all. Again, going back to the values based, it has to fit in with the way business is conducted and the culture of the organization. On training and engagement, an effective ethics and compliance program is very clearly starts with establishing awareness and expectation of employees, and then making sure that we have training on multiple elements within government contracting. So in this toolkit, there are actually PowerPoint presentations that can be downloaded and used for specific training on specific topics. For example, business courtesies, conflict of interest, and other topics like that. And we wanted to make it easy, again, for small businesses because they don't have the resources. The policies and procedures section is very much an outline of what policies and procedures are recommended. But then we took a step farther and we actually put in templates and example policies and procedures that a company, again, can download and make their own. They can revise it and formulate it however they need for their business, or quite frankly, they can use it almost off the shelf and use it in their business if it fits their business. And then auditing, monitoring, and mentoring, that's another section in there, because it's very important that after you establish an ethics and compliance program, that you don't just walk away from it. You need to continually revisit it, audit it, monitor the outcome of the processes to make sure that you are achieving the desired outcome.
So I want to add, too, that this is an effort by the working group. So we've got 15 member companies, mostly medium and large-sized defense contractors that came together for many, many months, a lot of effort to put this toolkit together. And that's why it
is scalable. Long has the toolkit been around?
The toolkit has been around for just about a year. We rolled it out at the 2016 Best Practice Forum.
And this is free on the website. Any small business or any medium or large-sized business that wants to either, start up a program, enhance or improve their program, it is a fantastic resource that they can go out and get. And, if you're a member, and we have many smaller businesses that are members, we have a formal mentorship program that others from other companies will formally spend the hours and time to assist them. So it's not just, here's the tool. Granted, anyone can go get the tool for free, but the formal mentorship program is a great benefit for members.
Right, so that's interesting. It's been around for a year. That's great and a great resource. I'm just thinking I got to put my lawyer's hat on. I can't help myself at some points. But just the idea of you're going to have to, as a working group, you're going to have to continually monitor it, right, and update it as appropriate as government rules change or even, other corporate compliance rules change, whatever Congress does, executive branch, whatever. That sounds like it's a sustained sort of commitment to that this will take, right? Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. This is a commitment, and we will be making sure that we keep it up to date. Just as we have to keep our internal programs up to date as regulations evolved or even as new trends emerge, we will then take that information from our working group and from our member companies and diffuse it back into the Small Business Toolkit. So this is a commitment, and as we started the show, we've been around for 31 years. So right. We're here to stay, and we're here to continue to provide these types of resources to not just small businesses in the defense industry, but really government contracting companies across the board, because the rules and regulations are very complex, whether you're providing a defense product or an additional government product.
And companies can go to your website and download the information.
Correct. Absolutely.
Yeah,
ahead,
and
Tim.
Actually, we also set up to help small businesses, and you do not need to be a member. So you can download it for free from the website. We also have quarterly webinars to cover the various topics. So there's some upcoming on our website. We'll have the events, but that's to dig down a little deeper, share best practices, again, for anyone to attend.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the supplier code of conduct, Tom. What is that, and what has DII done in that area?
Sure. So when we've talked earlier about enhancing our own programs, it's also important to set the expectations of our suppliers as to what they should understand and basically align with our high ethical standards. We have many suppliers, that are a potential liability. We have certain standards. We're holding our employees accountable, and we want to hold our suppliers accountable. So this document, it was created several years ago, and actually we're talking, in the future we'll be updating that our other tools.
Sure.
But it is basically a four-page document that sets the expectations of the most critical elements of a program for defense contracting. Human trafficking is obviously, something very important, especially for service-based businesses. So if you're hiring employees in one country, go in another, we want to set the expectation that, hey, there's laws and expectations that our companies have that you need to be aware of and adhere to. So that is a tool that, we often send to our suppliers to set that expectation.
And we developed the model supplier code of conduct for two reasons. One was to ensure that the suppliers in the industry understood the expectations. But the other reason, quite frankly, is to simplify the work that we do. When you think about being a small or a mid-size supplier in government contracting, oftentimes you are a subcontractor to a much larger company. And those larger companies were requiring small businesses to actually sign their supplier code of conduct. And so we heard from the small and mid-sized businesses that it was onerous to have to sign multiple supplier codes of conduct.
Right, so
We rolled out the model supplier code of conduct. So many of our companies have adopted that in different forms. I know for the Boeing company, we've included the DII model supplier code of conduct as an option. We've also included the terms in our terms and conditions. So suppliers no longer have to sign a code of conduct. When they sign the contract, they're signing the code of conduct. And I know Harris has also adopted the supplier code of conduct from a recommendation standpoint as well. Is that right, Tom?
Yeah, we've just basically taken the guts or the most of the content and rebranded it and put our own personal contact information. But it's a derivative of
the code. That makes a lot of sense from just even not just an ethics perspective, but an efficiency perspective, right? Because I could see companies. Well, I've got to review this one. You know, I got to give it to my in-house counsel or whatever, make sure everything's okay with it, right? That's just the way the world works, right? And having to do that multiple times there's some really core fundamental principles, right? That's what the whole point of this is, we can all agree on that to address. And you know what? We're already up on the next break. My goodness. Hey, we're doing fine. We're covering all this stuff. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the conference, best practices conference you had in June, a little bit more. I'd like to hear about some of the government people who came in particular. I think we'll also want to hear some of your priorities moving forward for the organization, and also just get your thoughts on it's Defense Industry Initiative, but is it really the government contractor industry initiative or IF? We'll work on that. Okay. My guests today are Ellen Martin. She is Vice President for Ethics and Business Conduct for the Boeing Company, and Tom McDaniel. He is Director of Ethics and Compliance at the Harris Corporation. And you are listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, my guests are Ellen Martin. She is Vice President of Ethics and Business Conduct for the Boeing Company, and Tom McDaniel, who is the Director of Ethics and Compliance at the Harris Corporation. And we're talking about the Defense Industry Initiative, a not-for-profit organization that promotes ethical conduct and compliance in government contracting, an imperative, right? I'm starting to get tongue-tied here, Ellen and Tom. This segment, one of the things that we've just touched on briefly is your best practices forum or conference that you have on an annual basis. And Tom, I think you mentioned it was just this month, June. So Ellen, what was that all about? Who, and I understand, as Tom indicated, that they got a very good set of folks from the government to come attend. Can you talk a little bit about the forum, the conference? The coalition uses the term forum. That's why I get confused.
We use the term forum as well. It's a best practices forum.
Wrong. Okay. So please.
Absolutely. Our best practices forum is really one of the highlights every year that DII hosts. And it's always in June. Every year it's here in Washington, D.C. And this year we had a great conference. Leanne Caret, the president of Boeing's defense business unit, opened up the conference with a very inspiring message about the importance of ethics, again reiterating that the work that we all do really is a life matter. So with that, we had our keynote panel was comprised of several Department of Defense procurement executives. Senior leaders such as Major General Casey Blake, who's the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Contracting with the Office of the Assistant Secretary of the Air Force for Acquisition. That's quite the long title.
Yeah, that sounds like a DOD title to me, right?
Matthew Bloom from the Associate Administrator with the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, John Tenegula, who's the Deputy Director for Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy. We also had a senior leader from the Navy acquisition there as well. And the panel really talked about what they're seeing in the industry, what their concerns were. And we wanted to have this panel because we wanted all of our member companies to be able to hear straight from the procurement officials on what their concerns were and what they were seeing in the industry. We also had some great speakers. We had Dr. Benjamin Heineman there, Mr. Benjamin Heineman, who's senior fellow at the Belfer Center for Science and International Affairs, and he spoke about high performance with integrity. Interestingly, Mr. Heineman was instrumental in establishing DII when he was at General Electric back in the mid 80s as well.
So he gave Jack Welch a hand in this.
Yes, he did. We had a wonderful panel from government talking about the changes in regulations, and they focused in on federal gift rules. We also had many, many breakout sessions where companies could go really focus in on very specific topics. What type of mechanisms do you use to enable reporting within your company? What's important in an investigation? Also, what type of ethics and compliance framework will help you when you're trying to dissect these complex rules and regulations to make sure that your company's being compliant? And also leadership. And again, values-based ethics. How do we keep all of that together in all of our companies? We wrapped up the forum. It's a day and a half that we spend together. And we wrapped up the forum with a very inspirational speaker, retired Colonel Art Athens from the Stockdale Center for Ethical Leadership at the United States Naval Academy. And he really stressed the importance of humility in leadership. Humility and integrity often go hand in hand. And he really talked to us about that. This year's conference, I'm really proud to say that we had 28 of our member companies represented as speakers and panelists or facilitators of discussion. So we really had a broad section of best practice sharing at the forum. Tom, what would you like to add?
Yeah, you know, and I want to stress that point because to me, you know, as a member of the DII, I get a lot of benefit from, you know, not only the government officials that come in, but just from the sharing of best practices, you know, building those relationships, hearing what others are doing. You know, we're all in this fight together. And the ideas that are spurned from there are lasting. I mean, they allow us to, as individual companies, but as an industry in a whole, continually improve. And that's really what it's about.
Right. So as when you're describing it, one of the things we talked about earlier was, you know, keeping up to date with the regulations. It seems to me that as business changes and the way business is conducted changes, you know, with, you know, internet and everything that, and technology and whatnot, that sort of underlying factual back predicate or how people actually operate and conduct business, as it changes, that also has to be reflected in how the ethics, guidance, and training and best practices change. Is that something that you guys see?
Oh, absolutely. Over the 31 years that the Defense Industry Initiative has been in existence, the trends that we're seeing have definitely changed. When you look at our supply chain today, it's much more global than what it was 30 years ago. And when you have a global supply chain, different rules come into play, anti-corruption rules, gift rules, bribery, very different around the world, the way that you would approach making sure that your company is not involved in those types
Absolutely.
Of things. Anti-human trafficking is another example. That regulation didn't exist 5 years ago, much less 30 years ago.
Yeah, and then in different cultures and how they even just conduct business and what's okay, one place from a cultural perspective, it may not necessarily be okay here, right?
That's exactly right.
You have to be sensitive to that. So, you know, with that in mind, first, Ellen, can you give the website where folks can find all the information about in the toolkit?
Absolutely. Our website is fairly easy. It's www.dii.org. And if you go on the website, you're going to find not only the toolkit, you'll find the information on the webinars that Tom shared with you. You will also find all the presentations from our best practice forum. So if folks didn't have the opportunity to attend, you just go pick up the information there and you can send emails and ask questions as well. But that website is about to be overhauled, and that's part of our further outreach. I'd like Tom to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. As a primary initiative that the steering committee had set forth for this year, we realized that as part of our outreach, our website was dated, and with
I know that feeling.
right, as we all do. You know, a key tenet or a key principle is to share best practices, and we realized that we weren't keeping up from a technology standpoint, and so to help facilitate our members networking with each other. There will be some, I'll say, advanced tools to allow, you know, much easier accessibility to each other, because we all have different issues, and sometimes some of our members may not feel comfortable picking up the phone and calling someone, even though they just met them at the business conference. So this will allow the technology to be used to facilitate that.
It's sort of like communities of practice.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Lots of different communities.
Cool.
And,
cool.
You know, the tool will email you as, you know, as opposed to you having to go to the website, so that it'll allow better interaction.
Right. Well, we got a couple minutes left, and I want to give you guys a chance to talk about, we've talked about all the good, great things you're doing and the new website and all the tools, you know, and the working group. What are you guys looking at as your priorities, like for your final year as the head of the working group, but also just DEI in general? And it seems to me, as part of that, I'd like you to address this. The service you do is wonderful, and the support you're providing, but it's more than the defense industry, right? So I'll turn it over to you, Ellen.
Absolutely, and I'll start with your latter point. You know, even though our name is Defense Industry Initiative, when you really step back and take a look at it, contracting with the government is complex. And the services that we provide, the Small Business Toolkit, the Best Practice Forum, that really is focused on government contracting, not just the defense industry. And we've seen that we've grown in from an organization in our membership to include other government contractors, not just the defense contractors. So as we look to the future, we really want to increase our membership. And the reason we're focused on membership is because we want to make sure that we have that center of excellence or a community of practice.
Absolutely.
And that we continue to grow that to support the mission. We also want to hear more from small businesses. So we're adding a few small businesses to our working group and to our executive steering committee so that we can make sure that we don't end up being an organization that's only focused on the midsize or the very large contractors. We will continually evolve our toolkit as the regulations evolve. And then most certainly every year we try to improve our best practice forum, and we'll also be increasing the collaboration that we have and continue to work with organizations such as yours, Roger, the Coalition for Government Procurement as well.
Well, we definitely look forward to spreading the good word and working with Defense Industry Initiative to promote ethical conduct in government contracts and all the compliance that it is fundamental to doing business with the federal government. It's just fundamental anyway. It's just the right thing to do. Tom, do you have any other thoughts about priorities moving forward?
No, I'll just echo, that
it's
a process.
She
did.
Right?
It's a process, but we continually improve. And I think that's the message, that we're always looking to help each other, share best practices, and continually improve. We never reach the end goal. It's always one step further, one step further.
It's a journey.
Yes,
it's a journey.
Absolutely. It's a journey that's will always be walked, right? Absolutely.
That's right.
So I want to thank my guest today, Ellen Martin. She is Vice President of Ethics and Business Conduct at the Boeing Company, and Tom McDaniel. He's Director of Ethics and Compliance at the Harris Corporation. And you've been listening to Off the Shelf on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
You've been listening to Off the Shelf with Roger Waldron of the Coalition for Government Procurement. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Off the Shelf, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.